Dude, Endgame, Endgame, and Endgame.
I still haven't seen it,
I haven't
unfortunately.
either.
What the fuck?
Here, well, we should. I know, right?
That and John Wick 3. I really want to see both of them.
Yeah, but. I haven't seen that yet. That looks really good.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences that we have in the game. We like to spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about uplifting experiences that we have had. Hello, Sin. How are you doing tonight?
Superb today, I tell you.
Today, tonight. Yeah.
Tonight, rather. Oh, this is actually earlier than normal, since no Game of Thrones, obviously, this week. But I did some mulching in my yard today.
No Game of Thrones. You actually get work done.
Go no Game of Thrones. I took a nap, so I'm doing really good, really good.
Did you see a tweet that I put out? It was not DMG, but the other guy, Cosmo. He said, "I'm so excited about Game of Thrones tonight." He was obviously doing that ironically, and so I tweeted it too. I retweeted it. I'm like, "So excited about Game of Thrones tonight!"
Damn.
Yeah.
Brutal. But. We do have a special guest on the show tonight. I actually saw this gentleman start streaming on Mixer, and then he moved over to Twitch. Actually, not too long ago, if I remember correctly. But the man, the myth, the legend himself, I am T-Bot. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great tonight.
Great.
Better now that you're here.
That was awkward. Can we start over? Yeah, man. Messed it up.
No take-backsies.
No. Yeah. No, it's good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Very wonderful to be here.
Now, I have a question for you to start off, because I remember watching you for the first time on Mixer. You used to do these workout streams. Do you still do those?
No. It's tough because I was streaming in the evening a lot, and I don't particularly like working out in the evening. And there's a story behind it. And the short story is I used to race mountain bikes professionally, and all of my workouts I would get done earlier in the day. And I was never tuned up to working out in the evening. So the workout streams, what I was doing, I was doing them in the evening. And I would eat dinner afterwards, sort of during the stream sometimes. And it wasn't really working out. I didn't really like eating dinner late, and I couldn't work out after eating dinner because I would just be in a food coma. Even if I didn't eat that much, I'd just be like, nah, gotta digest, that's just the way I am. So I stopped doing them. They were fun though. I was doing gotcha. The Crucible or something like that, something similar, like a PvP type of gameplay. And every time I would die, I would, like, you know, like count a death, and every time I would die, I would count up all the deaths for a match, and then I would use that as the number of times to do like a little mini circuit workout, and I'll try to get people to join in. And they were mildly popular, but I don't know. I mean, not to call anyone out or belittle anyone, but working out on stream isn't exactly the most popular thing going on Twitch or Mixer. So
I would imagine
it was a fun experiment, but because of the fact that it wasn't really jiving with my schedule and, you know, it wasn't gaining popularity a ton, I just was like, yeah, let's not do that anymore. You know, it's I'll figure it out.
No judgments here. No judgments
here. No judgments, but yeah. What you said about that workout challenge, I could actually, boy, I would get a good workout because I'm not so good at Crucible, so it would get me to get me to work out.
Yeah, well, I'm not amazing at Crucible, but I'm not bad, and I think I was doing like a minimum of 10 circuits or 5 circuits, depending. So I always had like a minimum, and if I died more times than that, I would have to do more. So, yeah. There was like caveats. I learned a lot by doing it, and I sort of want to incorporate some sort of a fitness aspect into my content again, because not a lot of people do it, so we'll see.
You did those. And you obviously stream Destiny. I mean, tell us more about that and what you like to do streaming there.
Oh, like just Destiny in particular, or just what I like to stream?
Tell us about everything, but let's start with Destiny. Wow. But we want you to give it to us all. We're not pigeonholing, even though we love Destiny. I was kind of starting the conversation.
I do have a lot to give.
What games, actually, let's start there. What games are you probably most excited about streaming right now or into these days?
I have been streaming a lot of Destiny 2 again, but previously I was playing Anthem, and that's a lot of fun. Didn't last as long as I had hoped. And then previously I like to do a lot of just random stuff, but Destiny has really been my mainstay game. So a lot of that. And hopefully I can find some new good ones soon because I like Destiny, but you know, playing the same game sort of gets old sometimes. So I've been doing that for a while. Before I was on Mixer, I was on Twitch. I started on Twitch and just something that interested in me, you know, meaning streaming. And someone was like, it actually started because someone told me one day that they thought it was funny. And I was like, you're an idiot. And they were like, you should stream. I was like, what's that? I don't even know what that is. So I learned what Twitch was. That's how I started streaming, by having someone tell me what it was. And so I was just like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. So how long ago, like how long have you been doing this?
You know, I don't know. It's probably like 3-ish, maybe more years.
Right on.
Now, not terribly long time, but I started
late.
That's still pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I started late. I'm 38, so I'm a little older than the average person in streaming. So probably not by far the oldest, but I feel like I'm like an old guy streaming. You know, I go around to other channels and I meet other people occasionally, and it's like, wow, I am like literally your dad's age. This is crazy.
I'm like your age, so no worries there. I mean, at least there's some experience kind of knowing.
Yeah, I find us older streamers, the older, like even like Guardians, whatever, like older gamers, we tend to gravitate towards each other. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. I noticed that.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I agree. Like the personalities, the more laid backness of it. I mean, we play with everyone. We like to raid, and when we're doing that, you can't be too picky or choosy or whatever, but yeah.
You can.
Yes, we can be super picky.
So 3 years, I mean, did you do like Destiny 1?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I can almost pinpoint when I really started to stream regularly. And that was when Division 1 came out with survival mode. That was one of the first times, like as far as like a, you know, a weekly schedule, I would try to stream regularly. And before that, it was just a little out of Destiny 1. I would help with raids. And I would stream, and it was mostly for my clan at first. I just streamed, and it was a good way for people to get notified that I was on, and I would help other clanmates get through raids in Destiny 1. So that turned into me doing that for other people as I developed a channel. And, you know, it's slow going. And I did move the Mixer for a while. And that was more or less when did I do that? I want to say it could have been close to when Destiny 2 came out, either right after or right before. Yeah, I was on Mixer then. I was on Mixer for about a year. I had taken a little break. I'm not even close to a full-time streamer is what I'm trying to say. So working a job, doing other things, I take breaks. And so I'm not always on consistently week to week. But yeah, I was on Mixer for a year. That was fun. Mixer's sort of cool. It's unique. They're doing a lot of like neat, unique things with their platform. But yeah, there was just some weird stuff going on for me, like technically. So if you can't stream consistently, if technically it's not working, then, you know, that's sort of hard to justify being on the platform. So it's a great platform, right? But yeah, I moved back to Twitch. Destiny's always been there. Mixer was cool though, because Mixer seemed like at first it was giving everyone, it sort of does do this still, I think, as far as I can tell, give people an opportunity to play other games and not get, you know, I don't want to use the word punished, but you know, a lot of people come to a channel that plays a game consistently. And if a person stops playing that game or switches games, then you may not get as much of the audience back for those streams, you know, and then you'll go back to your mainstay, and then everything's good. You know, Mixer wasn't as It wasn't like that, I guess, put it simply. So I did a lot of variety. I played like all the Halo games and started playing like all this random stuff for a while. It was cool.
I remember seeing you play the Batman Arkham something.
Yeah. I love those games. I played those games when they came out. You know, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City. I played Arkham Origins. I didn't think it was horrible. It wasn't great. Basically the same thing as Arkham City with like a weird like twist. And then there was Arkham. What was I playing? Was I playing Arkham Asylum? I bet you it was Arkham Asylum. I think I had tried to go back and replay the series, and then I got disrupted by another big game that came out that I wanted to try.
Right. Yeah, I tried Mixer for a little bit about that time you were on it, and just couldn't stick around. I came back to Twitch, and for the little bit that I stream, that's where most everybody that I know hangs out, so it's been my go-to. But yeah, Mixer, like you said, is definitely a little bit different. They do have a good thing going on, I think, for their community, and they are building up something a little bit different than Twitch does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Did you see that they had a Guardian Con? They actually have a Guardian Con channel on Mixer now. They're going to do the Guardian Con St. Jude marathon. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, it's neat.
It's been a hot minute. Typically, when I go over there, I'm watching Hidden, since he streams a lot on Mixer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've met him. He's a cool dude.
But it's been a hot minute since I've been over there. I just work too damn much.
Yep. Yeah, same. I honestly, and I think this is one of the things that I wish I could do more of. I don't watch streams as much as I feel I should or whatnot. And I watch as much as I can, you know, so yeah, I don't have guilty feelings about it, but yeah, I feel you there, man. Working a full-time job and doing other things and trying to, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, even making podcasts, we don't have time to listen to every episode of every Destiny podcast out there. I mean, I put a list together a couple weeks ago and there's 20 different podcasts that at least talk about Destiny somewhat. There may be even more. So, you know, there's a lot out there, but we definitely know who's in the community and keep up to date and listen to a lot. But you're right. It's like you can't do it all.
No. I sort of stopped trying. And I think that's like one of the things that it's hard to come to grip. I don't want to turn this into a stream discussion necessarily, but while we're on the subject, it's one of the things that I think a lot of streamers sometimes have to come to terms with if they aren't able to stream consistently. You know, if you're able to build up a small audience of like 10 to 20 viewers that are there consistently and, you know, you get new ones occasionally, like you'd be happy with that. I've had to come to grips with like, you know, the fact that I'm not consistent. So it's hard to build an audience. So,
right.
It's crazy, but there's always people there. You know, if you get something really good going, it doesn't matter if you're only on a little bit here and there, people will come. So just stick with it and keep working on your craft, man, because if you have something really good, like, they will come, even if you're on once a week, because heck, look at Game of Thrones. You guys are talking about that. Game of Thrones is only on once a week, you know, and that's all you need. You just need to be there consistently one day a week. That's really all it could take.
Yeah,
right.
Mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling.
So you're enjoying the streaming. That's good to hear. You're still planning on keeping it going, and, you know, that's what it sounds like, so.
Yeah. No, it's like a roller coaster, man. You know, it's a crazy roller coaster. It's a fun roller coaster. My main thing with streaming is I like to just do weird, fun stuff behind the scenes occasionally. That's like when I started out, like as soon as I got a PC and started fiddling with the streaming software, like I immediately was like watching some of like the bigger names that do a little more production value with their stuff. And I was just like trying to recreate or like use them as like idea builders and like not recreate what they were doing, but like create stuff based on the ideas I was gathering from all these different bigger streamers that were doing stuff. They clearly have other people helping them out, like while they're streaming.
I would imagine. Yeah. Right.
I mean, some of the larger streamers that do, you know, a lot of high production value, different scenes, camera work and whatnot. Yeah. They are not doing that by themselves. Like there is definitely at least one other person there to help them out because it's pretty cool what they can do and what people do in live stream and how smooth they can make it. I was practicing that from the onset. So like I have like a lot of skill I built up with doing things like that, you know, using different camera works and scene work and lighting and all that stuff. I practiced all that, like, almost from the get-go before I actually practiced streaming.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I went backwards.
What about sound effects? Do you have any sound effects for us?
I could do the sound effects. We were playing with that before. For the audience that's listening.
For the audience that doesn't know yet.
Yeah, I decided to mess around and play around with sound effects. Yeah, VoiceMod Pro. If you're a streamer listening to Stream Deck, VoiceMod is a really, really slick piece of software that's integrated into the Stream Deck. No, I'm not an employee of Elgato. I do not sell Elgato products. I'm not sponsored by Elgato. I just really like them. And it's pretty cool. VoiceMod is, you can just create buttons on your Stream Deck. And, you know, you can make yourself sound like a chipmunk.
Pretty cool, right? Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I like the Trucker one. I've heard Trucker before. Or the
Dispatch. The Trucker? Oh, the like the walkie-talkie or radio one or something like that?
Trucker, we gotta run away.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I like that one. I use that one. It's always like a good little gag.
I know. I want to use that like going into raids and someone's like messing up somewhere and just be funny about like, dude, do not go over there.
They have a lot of them too. They have like the singing one I use is called Magic Chords, and it just is. It's almost like auto tuner, but it like changes the it changes the note or whatever you want to call it while you can just talk and it'll sound like you're singing.
So like this, like I'm just talking like normal, but I'm imagining it sounds like I'm singing a little bit right now, but I'm not. I'm just talking normal. Pretty cool.
So, yep, that was fun.
Yeah,
nice.
So sound effects are one of those things where I feel like that's like the basic thing that you start to work with. You know, you start to build your craft, use your personality. If sound effects fit in with your personality, you know, you use them to augment the gag or the shtick that you're putting down at the moment. You know, that's the way I use them. So, yeah, there's so many different interesting things you can do on the live stream that hasn't been done because of the difficulty of it. If you just put the time and effort into like trying to think of things that typically aren't done on a live stream and just do them, like some of these things that you could, I've thought of things. I mean, I'm not going to throw out all my ideas on the podcast, no offense. But some of these things like no one does. I'm like, man, if I just had time to develop this idea and that idea, I have something that no one else is doing. That's what you got to do. You have to find the time and then actually,
yeah, makes sense.
Actually do it.
Nice.
And those are the people that tend to start to get attention over time. So, yeah. But it takes a lot of time and it's hard to do it with a job and all the other stuff I got going on. So I just have fun streaming and doing what I can.
And do you have kids?
I do not. I'm married. I have a fur baby. He's a dog. And,
what type of dog? Do tell.
Oh, he is a mutt. But he's a very handsome mutt, a little goofy. He loves to run around in the woods. We take him hiking a lot. His name is Finn, and it's really hard to describe him without a picture, but, you know, the dog emoji that is used on all the emoji sets for phones and whatnot. It's the white dog with the brown-ish eye patch and the brown ears.
Oh, yeah.
It's like facing you. It's just like a little cartoon dog emoji. Mm-hmm. He looks like that, but imagine that the brown patch over the one eye, it's on both eyes. That's him.
Okay.
He looks like that. He literally looks like a cartoon.
That's cool. We have two dogs, one mutt. He's like a Lhasa Apso Maltese mix, and then we have another small Bichon.
Ooh.
Dog, so.
Sounds fancy.
Bichon Frise? Yeah, those are little ones, yeah.
I'm supposed to have a Husky Collie mix, but he looks like neither.
Oh, really? Nice.
That happens sometimes, right?
Right.
Dude, we sort of thought Finn may have been Husky at one point because he was so like energetic and like a little bit crazy. We were like, uh-oh, he may be part Husky. I think he is part Collie because he sort of has like that big, he has hair and it's straight and it's laid down, but it's sort of like, there's a lot of it around the collar area, you know, like it's got that mane like a Collie does. Maybe part Collie.
I have a question. You kind of do this thing now, keeping on the lines of streaming, but more Destiny related. If I recall, you stream for Planet Destiny.
Yes. One day a week.
Talk about burying the lead.
Very limited.
Right?
They keep me on a tight leash. Yeah, I just got lucky, honestly, and I had been streaming with the Infinity, and I knew Nem, and I think everyone in the Destiny community knows Nem now. They don't know Danfinity as well. They probably know both of them. But yeah, I had been a fan of Nem's, stopping by his streams early on when he started with Planet Destiny a long time ago, when I think it first shifted over to new management. And yeah, I just got, it was sort of like lucky. You know, like they don't really, you don't ask them if you can stream. You know, they usually look for people and they just happen to need people. And I was already, I was already a known quantity. So they trusted me. So they were like, yeah, stream. And then they gave me Tuesday nights, which I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. That's a reset. So yeah, I get to stream Tuesday evenings on Planet Destiny. Usually start around 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's fun. It's a really, really cool channel. It's amazing to be a part of. And like, if you're not familiar with Planet Destiny, you're listening, then go check it out. It's twitch.tv/planet_destiny. And there's a lot of different streamers on there now. They just put together a lineup that was pretty amazing over the past couple weeks. They added Red Queen, Second to Last is streaming for them now. So yeah, they have some partners, and then of course they have like Aura, Black Link, the Infinity, Nem, your mainstay podcast crew on Sundays. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
2 weeks ago, we had Bo Solaris on, who also streams Planet Destiny.
Yeah, great guy. Great. We love talking to him, talking to you. Tell me, like, so when you're streaming, I'm sure you probably don't feel this way, but let's be real. Like, when you got invited to do that, do you ever feel like pressure or like, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doing good enough?
I mean, we know Planet Destiny has had a very rich history of very talented content creators working for them. You know, it's since they got big in the early Destiny 1 days and all the way to today. Very good, very talented content creators have always been associated with the channel. And when I think I wasn't thinking at all when I had been given the opportunity, I just took it, right? Yeah. And the pressure thing, that feeling, that sense of pressure didn't really creep up until maybe like an hour before my first stream. And I sort of dove into creating new scenes and whatnot to work with the channel. You know, I didn't want to brand things exactly like I do for my channel. I wanted it to be Planet Destiny, but with me, you know? So I that sort of work I did, I sort of dove into that, and that took the pressure off. That's the way I cope with that stuff. Instead of thinking about it, I just work on it. Yep. Do all the behind the scenes work and got it all working the way I wanted it to. Made things a little different, or quite a bit different than my own channel. And like an hour before, I was just like, oh man, I'm going to stream on Planet Destiny. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Tuesday nights too, that is pretty excellent. And you talk about reset. How are you feeling about a week from this Tuesday, the new season and the new raid? Going to be doing anything that day, that night?
You know, I usually only stream mornings, but I think for this new content release, as luck would have it, my wife is going to be heading out of town for a couple days with a friend to relax, and I have to work. So I'm actually going to stream in the evening. So I'm looking forward to it because a couple other streamers that I've streamed with, played with offline to get along with well, are going to just play through the content whenever we can. So I'll probably be playing a little bit more than I normally would for the first couple days of the release, which is nice. I'm excited because I'm enjoying Destiny more than I have recently. But I'm not necessarily amped up for the raid. It's a day one raid. I'm not going to be able to take off for the raid at all. So,
yeah,
it's one of those things where I'll probably stream. It looks like I'm going to be able to play before, like right before everything drops. And then I'm going to be able to play it like in the evening. There's a slim chance I may be able to get the day off, but I don't think I'm going to do that this time. I think I'm just going to be responsible. Work.
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But we still don't know too much of what's going to be coming out. We hope to know more within this next week. Maybe they'll tell us more about the 6-person matchmade activity. Maybe they'll tell us more about, quote, new content. But I think overall, this new season coming up is something that could potentially be a good one. I mean, here's to hoping, right? I mean, now you said you've had a little more fun in Destiny lately. What have you enjoyed doing, or what's your feelings on that? What are you working on or having fun with?
You know, there's so much to do right now, especially being a player that has taken some time off recently. I was grinding The Division 2 over on PC. I played Destiny 2 on PS4, by the way. So I used to play it on all the platforms, but I realized that that's ludicrous considering the limited time I have. So,
kind of how we're at too, where PS4 is our main. I have it on PC, yeah. But it's like it's hard to keep it up everywhere.
Yeah, although the bounties that they have and the some of the bounties or quests will level you up pretty quick, so it may be worth. I may start playing a character on Xbox and a character on PC, but I'm gonna wait before I do that. I'm not going to do it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
But I do everything. I've been playing PvP, a little bit of comp. I have like the lowest of low ranking. I think I'm like in 800s right now. I'm like real low. So I've just been like practicing comp in the lower tiers and just like messing around trying to get my skill back, which has been going pretty well. I started with the Thorn Bounty, did the hand cannon headshot kills for Luna. I still have Luna on one of my characters, so I couldn't do that. Yeah, I've just been doing anything and whatever I feel like, honestly. You know, just I literally have everything, almost everything to do, it feels like. So
yeah, there is a lot to do, and I was leveling up a character recently. I'm usually main warlock and Hunter's kind of my second. I finally decided to level up my Titan, and boy, you're just doing little things here and there and something pops, new bounty, new quest, do this, do that, and you know, 90% of it right now, I'm just kind of ignoring because I know I don't want to do those things again. But it is kind of a time in the game where, kind of like where when I came into Destiny 1 after taking King, and I felt like it was a great game. There was a lot to do, like all up front.
Yeah, that was a good time to come in. That was a good time.
Oh, the memories. Well, one quick thing we wanted to talk about, and then we can go back to talking about whatever, but this raid coming up, because this is big news, and we talked a little bit last week on our podcast about we were unsure about, a little concerned about the requirements for the raid and everything. But then they came out with a new update this Thursday, along with this week at Bungie, and this came out by Deej and Luke Smith, and just kind of telling us what's going on with the raid. And this is kind of an interesting first time I can think they ever doing something like this. They're creating a mechanic for at least the first 24 hours where it's called Contest. And while Contest is active, players will face an enforced challenge throughout the raid. Now, it's weird they use that word challenge, but basically they said this means power beyond certain levels will provide no advantage for a given fight. Well, it makes sense. So like, you know, you could make it easier if you were a higher level, but what they're doing is they're putting everyone on an even playing field. So they say, for example, the first fight, all power above 700 won't provide an advantage. And for the final fight, all power above 720 will not provide an advantage. So this is interesting. I mean, I think this is pretty cool what they're doing. There again, may be some story reasons why, or it may just be they're trying to make an even playing field where I think anyone who has a great team, even if you're not a full-time streamer, like these crews that normally win it, anyone has a possibility to be world's first now, don't we think? I mean, sure seems like that.
Yeah, this is the contest mode is definitely more for the the raid, the world's first raid race, because it is only for that 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
This, compared to what we've seen in the last couple weeks, I don't think this motivation here is not story-driven. This is just more for the actual the raid race itself. And, yep, and making that a meaningful part of reset.
And it makes sense. I'm happy with what they're doing. I'm going to try to take the day off. It's not like we're trying to get, I'm expecting to like do world's first or whatever, but I am excited to hop into the game that day and then at least check out the raid more in a way where, like, back when we were running Leviathan when it first came out with our crew and running Eater of Worlds, we were able to hop into those raids because for whatever reason, the power requirements weren't as high back then. And we could actually get a few of the encounters done for us just being an average crew on the first night. And then you have the newer raids like Scourge of the Past, Leviathan, and Last Wish, where it was a little more disappointing. We could hop into the raid, but we were getting burnt one shot by enemies because we weren't like high enough level like the streamers were able to do from playing 24 hours a day, that, you know, getting that up. So I'm excited about this. I think it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be really good. And it'll definitely help showcase skill more than, you know, the ability to play a lot before the content release. You know, it's like 700 is the current max, so it doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter what you do. I think some people may be overthinking it. There's definitely some things you can do to maybe make sure that you're 720 for that last encounter.
Yeah.
You know, by saving, you know, like by like 90%ing a bunch of bounties that deliver powerful engrams, for instance.
Yeah, I see that's what a lot of people are doing.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one, you know, people are doing that. You're going to see people, a lot of the organized teams will be a 720 for the last encounter, but it's probably going to be a 740 encounter. So yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be cool. I hope I have time to watch and see the encounters, and I don't think it's going to be a very long raid, despite the modifier being placed onto it for the first 24 hours, limiting the power level of those that are in there. I think that it's going to be like 5-6 hours tops, you know, maybe 8. Something. You know, it's the first day it'll get completed. I don't foresee this being a really large raid.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I hope so too. If like there are certain things that it might be holding people back doing other things. It seems interesting. Again, you know, yeah, this modifier is probably not for any story reason, but it seems like there's something that I can't put my finger on it, but I have some thoughts or feelings like it's not going to be like Last Wish level necessarily, where the Dreaming City first came out and all these things changed, but there could be something where like maybe we're not allowed to get into one of the new activities until the raid is done, or maybe we know, like, yeah, Powerful and Grimms and the old raids won't be open until the new raid's done. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I sort of like that. I forgot that it was a thing for Last Wish. That'd be cool if they have something gated to the raid being completed. So it makes everyone feel like they're a part of like the world, you know, like, you know, some team in Germany, for instance, like that happened once, like some German team beats it, but now everyone gets to benefit. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. I like Last Wish so much. I loved that raid. I was, not that I don't like Leviathan and Spire of Stars, but I was kind of getting sick of the Leviathan atmosphere. So I'm a little concerned about this raid. You know, it seems like it has something to do with Kallus again. I'm secretly hoping it won't be on Leviathan. It'll be somewhere else, but who knows? But looking at the picture that they put out at the This Week at Bungie, it's interesting. So I didn't really notice it on my phone so much when I was looking earlier, but someone mentioned something on Twitter and I have it pulled up on my computer screen now. And it's like this seal or whatever. It shows Kallus's face on it. But everything's kind of like tarnished and dirty looking. And someone made a good point that normally everything on Leviathan's very clean, shiny, bright, yellow. So what does this mean, being tarnished and dirty looking? What can we speculate there?
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah. I know that Kallus had a daughter he exiled, and it's sort of it goes along with the theme of sadness. I wonder if there's something to that. If you're not familiar, I believe that the story or that fact was unveiled in the collector's edition book that was provided with, if you guys got the collector's edition or were able to read the collector's edition book, it was something in regards to his daughter and other things. So there's a lot of lore that was put out in regards to Kallus and the Cabal.
Yeah.
So it may not, yeah, I think it'd be awesome if it's not on the Leviathan, but it could be somewhat Cabal themed. Maybe his daughter being exiled, whatever ship or whatever place she's gone to, you know, they still have the Kallus seals on stuff, but everything's all dirty and tarnished because they were in exile. Could be, maybe has something to do with that. I just don't know where it would go or how it would connect.
Or maybe it's one of those jokes where, like, yeah, the Leviathan part that we've seen is all kept up nice, but it's all for show, and his quarters are actually, like, run down. I know it sounds absurd, but, you know, you kind of make that joke, like, the landscaper, he can make everyone's houses look nice, but he never has time for his own, you know, right? So
yeah, it could be it. Yeah, so
that's definitely true.
A lot of people think Hive are going to be involved, but...
Well, I hope. Yeah, I hope. Because yeah. Cabal, great, but I kind of get sick of Cabal. Hive has always been my favorite of the enemy types and lore and mythology behind them.
The what's that ship from Destiny 1?
The Dreadnought?
Dreadnought. I mean,
the that... Oryxus. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason why I knew is because we were talking about this some sin, I believe. Otherwise, yes. That was a very specific question.
Very specific. Because in the original opening sequence, and I think I posted it somewhere, that you see the Traveler's Light when it expands through the universe, you can kind of see like little things that it makes it show, it kind of looks like we've already been there and this journey through Forsaken so far. And really the next piece to this journey looks to be the Dreadnought, because that light does pass over the Dreadnought in that sequence or in that that video from the original scene of Destiny 2. So it could very well be Hive related or Dread, something on the Dreadnought, maybe start out on the Leviathan and then move to the Dreadnought.
Oh, yeah, don't get me excited. I hope.
If they do the Dreadnought, which I agree, I think they're going to at some point soon. I think it'll be in September.
Yeah, probably more likely
be a bigger. Yeah, it'll be a bigger expansion or content release. So I would hope that they don't do the Dreadnought, or if they do, it's just like a tease, and then they unveil something bigger later. Because the Hive are definitely like in the background when in regards to the game's lore and the plot lines. You know, we've been messing around with the Dreaming City and the Cabal, but the Hive are in the background still. The Hive seem to be instigating a lot currently in the game, despite the fact that Oryx is dead. And you know, I think they have a lot of Hive related stuff that they're going to be unveiling in September. So I don't think we're going to see the Dreadnought in a week.
Yeah, of course we still have to. I'm sure at some point there's been too much hints to Savathun, so. Got to be something going on there too.
Yeah, and it's still taken. Yeah, so.
It's exciting. Yeah, and we also found out this last week that Luke Smith seemed to imply that shortly after this new season starts, we will find out more about the future of Destiny, meaning this fall, the year after, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. What was his? What was his? He had a tweet, right? That you're referring to.
Yeah, I thought it was even in the TWA, but yeah, he basically mentioned that. Like, yeah, so we can pull it up, but yeah, that's basically what it said. Is yeah, shortly after you know this new season starts, we'll be finding out more about the future of Destiny.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I didn't actually read what he wrote, but I heard a couple people mention that Luke Smith came out of his dungeon and spoke to the world or something to that effect.
So. Basically, that's basically what happened. Yeah.
He's the architect of some interesting pieces of Destiny so far. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see what's cooking, you know, just from like an overall, like a high level viewpoint that the rest of Destiny 2. And then, I don't know, maybe we'll get some overall ideas in regards to what's after Destiny 2. I think I may be more interested in that at this point. I feel Destiny 2, it's not done and over with, but. You know, as far as what they can do with it, I think they have it has its limits, and I think we've essentially seen its limit. So we maybe get some cool additions to the story and things to play and encounters to work through. But I think whatever comes after Destiny 2 for me is more interesting at this point, because I'm hoping that they make some big changes, but not in regards to, not like they did for Destiny 2. I think they're going to make big changes in regards to like how the game lives and thrives. So,
yeah.
Like a huge Destiny Online universe.
That's what a lot of people are hoping for. I think it's starting to be such a common hope that people are starting to become confused and think that it is a rumor that may be based off some fact.
Hopes
I don't
and
think
dreams.
That's the case. Yeah, I think it's a lot of people speculating the same thing, and it's starting to feel like it could be real. But I don't know if that's the type of thing that we're going to see with the Destiny 3, like a persistent online universe.
Right.
But I could be wrong. And the only reason I say that is because we've got to wait to see when Destiny 3 would be launching. It may not launch when we assume it would be. It could be delayed. If it gets delayed and it's launching on, or if it launches with next gen consoles, there could be a chance that you'll have something like that. It already could happen on PC. I'm pretty sure that they have the horsepower to do it on PC, but I would think that they would want to do something maybe almost revolutionary and really, you know, up the ante for an online universe. So yeah, we'll see. I hope that's something that we get. That would be cool. But
I hope right, so too.
I think on the development side, that's a lot of work. So
it
may not happen.
Yeah, we've talked about it before on the podcast. I would really love to have a persistent online universe where everything's back. Like, even though the older stuff, I mean, they can revamp and make it look nicer. I want all the raids, Vault of Glass, everything, you know, Prison of Elders in the game. Bring it all and then bring new stuff too. And I'm willing to pay money for it. And I'm willing, you know, at least we do have some rumblings about PS5 coming out. But even if they decide to, like, you know what, we're just the way developments go, I doubt this would happen. But even if they said, like, let's just release it to PC only, I'm like, that's fine. Whatever. I'm over there. I'm there. I'm so much into it that if they can make something good, then do it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And we have a lot of MMORPGs, I guess you would call them, really, like the persistent online worlds. You have, what, Elder Scrolls, World of Warcraft, and I'm sure there are other ones out there that have this persistent online world that's just ever expanding. And I think if Destiny did go to that, that would be huge. I was going to say earlier, with what we could like kind of theorize where the game is going to go with Hive, or whether it's going to be the Dreadnought, or whether it's going to be more on the Leviathan. There's just so many ways we could basically theorycraft all night and come up with ideas.
Let's do it.
Right.
Right on.
Get some coffee, get a pack of smokes, and let's do this.
Why a pack of smokes? Where'd that come from?
It reminds me, so when I was younger, I waited tables at Destiny, and or not waited tables at Destiny, Denny's.
What?
That's crazy.
What's that place?
Clear your mind. So
Destiny, I waited, the restaurant.
Destiny, the restaurant.
Destiny, the flamethrower. Anyway, go on.
So I was waiting tables at Denny's, and back then, this is when restaurants still allowed smoking inside there.
Yeah.
We used to have this group of guys, gals that came in, and I want to say, if I remember correctly, they were like, they had like a lot of stuff like written down, like D&D style, and they would be there for hours and hours with smoking cigarettes, just drinking coffee, going over their stuff they wrote down for D&D. And that's awesome. Kind of what makes me think of that. And just like, you know, we can stay up all night theory crafting about gaming. So that, yeah, bring a pack of smokes, coffee. Let's do this. We're good for all night now.
I had an idea that I tweeted out, and it was actually spurred on by someone else who I lovingly referred to as Porkchop, Papa Porkchop, on Twitter. And this sort of stems from an unpopular opinion, or what I perceive to be an unpopular opinion, and that I am sick and tired of the enemies in the darkness. I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't care about it anymore. I know that may not be a popular opinion, but I don't care about the darkness. I think we just need to kill it. We're superpowered space ninjas and whatever you want to call us. I think we can handle this darkness. I sort of want Destiny 2 to end with us just getting rid of this darkness or whatever this enemy ends up being, or just it's that I want this to come full circle. And if this whole pipe dream of the Destiny 3 being an online persistent universe becomes true, I think what could be good for this franchise is that we move on to not fighting darkness constantly and, you know, getting all of our weapons nerfed every season, but moving on to getting out into the universe. You know, we're so focused on our solar system and our dimension. There's so many other things going on, you know, what's going on in the rest of this, our universe outside of our solar system. We're like super soldiers that can't die. Like, we could help other civilizations that are in other solar systems out within the universe, out of the galaxies. Like, I would love to see us like start to become like the guardians of the universe, you know.
Do we get to meet the Marvel universe?
I don't awesome. Know if the licensing would work out, but yeah, I get that. Oh man.
Guardians of the
Guardians of the universe. But yeah, you know, you get what I'm going at, you know. I think it could open up possibilities, and it would provide some fluidity to the storytelling and where it could go, because you could maybe choose, you know, like a story to tell where we go and we help out, you know, a race of beings in this galaxy or this whatever. And, you know, if that doesn't work out, you can sort of let it fizzle out and finish it, wrap it up quickly, and then move on to another one. You know, you're just like, you know, different groups of guardians are going out throughout the universe. And yeah, we're basically trying to help out other people now. I sort of like want
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Yeah. I mean, it's not a unique idea to storytelling or anything, but you know, I just feel like I'm sick of sitting in the last city. Well, that's humanity does that for the most part. I'm sick of the solar system at this point. I think the darkness needs to come. We need to vanquish it, or maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe we think the darkness, maybe it's not actually bad. Maybe it's something else. But you know, whatever it is, I just want to see it come full. I want it to come full circle, and I want to move on. I think Destiny needs a shake up in the way it tells stories, possibly. And not that the lore is bad, and the lore is really good, but they haven't really done a great job ever in game of covering it. You know, it's gotten a little bit better here and there, but yeah, I think that if they quicken up the pace of storytelling and maybe have us give us some fluidity by moving outside of the solar system, you know, they could just you could start to meet other races, beings and things like that. And I think it would be, for me, that would be more interesting. Like I said, I know that's probably not a popular opinion in regards to this game, but that's one of the things I've been thinking about recently.
I mean, it's fine with me. I don't see anything wrong with that. I probably, the skeptical eye of mine is saying the reason why they haven't done that more is because of development costs, you know, bringing probably new stuff into the game. But
or they're going to bring out, instead of light bears, dark bears.
Dude, that would be cool. What would that entail? I'm like thinking, I'm like, wait, what is that?
It's just different abilities, I guess, and different play on characters. Maybe like a new set of characters that you could be or pick to play as.
Yeah, like, I don't know, let's say this is the closest equivalent we could have. You wouldn't want to copy this exactly, but like we have powers like what Orcs has to just kind of like change things and have minions. You know, that brings up a point. I've always wanted more of...
I just thought of Diablo 3 right there.
Yes, Diablo. Like, you know, we have that a little bit with the Arc Buddies, with the Warlock. But I want like a... Not a raccoon. I don't know why I was thinking that. But I want like an animal following me around, like helping fight, you know? Some kind of power. I think that power
would be awesome. Hey, remember when Cade was like running through the Prison of Elders with us? Like that was sort of cool. Like
seriously,
having someone like running there with you, like an NPC that interacts with you, but more directly. I see what you're getting at. That would be cool. I totally see that happening in this game.
It was kind of cool too when the little spiky servitors were kind of quote helping us out in some of those story missions. You know, they weren't doing much as normally the small little side NPC characters normally shouldn't do much. It's not like they're gonna finish the bad guy for you, but still, it's a cool idea, and I wish we could have a maybe one that's more powerful that we could level up. I would love to have like a little servitor at my side, just kind of helping fight. I'm down for that.
Dude, that would be cool. Like, or something that like you can like set up, like do DPS or heal or something, like add buffs and stuff like that. That would be cool.
And also speaking of like, let's get some more variations to our subclasses and powers where we can go into these raids and have more traditional roles that other games have. Like you can have the healer we have that a little bit, but like, you know, like the healer in the tank position and let's have a boss encounter where only maybe two people are doing straight DPS and then the other people have to be doing a little side thing at the same time or else you're not able to do DPS on the boss.
Yeah.
That'll make these raid encounters a little more interesting.
Yeah, that would. The mechanics aren't all that bad necessarily, but yeah, I think I like that idea. I like where you're going with that, actually. I think like the fact that seems like every time we encounter a boss in a raid, I should say, we all have to, all six of us have to be shooting the boss during damage phases or else either you fail the encounter or you never, or it just takes forever. So.
Yeah. And most I can think of is like maybe we all have to be like standing on a plate or different plates, kind of like in Wrath of the Machine, where on some of the encounters, but still there's nothing, or even Leviathan, where we have to stand on a plate while we're shooting them. But it's not quite the same as the idea that I have is like, well, two of them can be off to the side, keeping some mechanic going, almost like a crank or a lever that's very simplified, but like keeping something active. Doing some puzzle while the other two people are doing DPS, while the other two people are just healing everyone or something like that, So kind of everyone has different roles and you have to do that or else it won't get done. Not just all six of you shoot the boss, die,
Yeah. The middle encounter right before Priest and when we were, for the Kingsfall raid.
Yeah.
That one. Where you're all jumping around. There wasn't really a boss necessarily, but you all had to sort of, do your role. Something like that during a boss fight would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're not all, like you said, you're not all shooting the boss at the same time because you all have to be doing something or else the encounter ends and you wipe.
Yeah. So we'll see.
It definitely makes me excited for the next season and what's, like you said, Luke Smith tweeted out. Maybe the roadmap for the next part of what's coming up for Destiny in the future. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to see what's going to come out of that, what's actually going to be said and where they're going to take it.
I agree. Let's see. What else did we have this week, Sin? Anything we want to bore the listeners with, things that we've done this week in gaming?
We missed out on a raid last night. I had to record or edit it while we were waiting on somebody who didn't make it. We're not going to mention any names, Link.
Ooh, ouch.
But we still love you. Congratulations on
Recluse. No, he was doing better stuff. He was
yes.
Yeah.
He got the Recluse. So
we're the plebs that don't have it.
The grind on that.
Yep.
But I actually realized this week that I still never finished the Tangled Shore bounty for the Zerg bounty.
Oh, slacker.
I know. I realized that come like Thursday or Friday night, and I was cussing in my head. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm going to be another week behind. But I know we tried to run Dr. Goku through OP, and unfortunately we got to the end but couldn't complete it.
We'll get that done, yeah. I mean, we have it, but yeah, we just didn't have enough time to get him through it because he hadn't run through learning the puzzle enough yet.
I still need to do this week's heroic, so I might try to jump in on Bowstream and get a sweet carry again.
I finally brought OP into... So I did hop into a Last Wish raid with another group. Was it Friday night, I believe? And I finally, you know, that was the first time I've been into Last Wish since I got an OP. And it's not going to be great on every encounter, but it definitely shines on Callie on the first encounter. If you just get everyone, and you kind of need everyone to have it, or else you might as well just revert, at least right now, to like Lord of Wolves or Whisper or something until those things get nerfed more. But we did test it out. Someone, a Warlock, put down a Well of Radiance, and all six of us were using Outbreak Perfected on Callie. And it started off a little slow, but then once those nanites started coming and we just kept going at her, we one phased it. It was pretty nice.
Now, did you do the one phase cheese?
No, not the one. Yeah, no, we did do it the way where we just all come to the center. We didn't do it where we just kept her on a plate. But still, you know, it was nice.
Nice.
Yep. So I'm loving that gun still. Very, very nice gun.
Now, T, did you end up getting OP? Did you run the mission?
Yeah, I have OP, but I haven't done any of the heroic stuff yet. So that's something I may do soon. But I feel like my time is fleeting, because once the new season starts, then it's going to be hard to find people that want to do it. So
yeah, I know. I agree. You know,
right?
It's, I don't think you need to worry about it too much. It could be useful, like especially with groups ups of people in Crucible, I guess. But overall in PvE, it's not like extremely that much better. It's better, but it's, yeah. I listened to a couple people that reviewed it. They say, yeah, it's probably worth getting, but you don't need to like stress over it. You know, it's not one of these things you need tomorrow. It's not like that much better.
Yeah, no, that's sort of what I was gathering, because when I've been using it in the Crucible or in PvE, it's pretty good. I'm like,
I'm already good.
100% fine with it. It's going to get nerfed, because it's turning into like an awesome weapon that everyone's using. So yeah, it's going to get nerfed. I'm not even going to worry about the catalyst maybe, but if I find myself with things to do and I'm like, catalysts are one of those things that I don't really focus on very much. So I have a lot of catalysts sitting on exotics, and I just, whatever. I just don't do them.
I wish they did it like Whisper, where they had options. Where, see, with Whisper, you could get the catalyst solo yourself. It would take a lot longer. You just go in each week and get the chests. I did heroic a couple times with people, and then I just finished my 100% with going back in solo and getting the chests. And I wish there was something like that for Outbreak Perfected also.
Yeah, you have to complete the run.
You do, and right. I'm not good enough to solo that. So
yeah,
I'm just going to be... You know,
does anyone solo the heroic yet?
I think so. I'm pretty sure
Glad did.
Well, we know he did the normal, but yeah, I think heroic too. I heard someone had. Was it him?
I'd imagine he would have.
Yeah.
I mean, dude's a beast. I give him props for that.
You know, in a way, heroic doesn't necessarily have to be that much harder, especially since you have the burns. So if it's on solar burn, it's probably pretty easy to pass, especially with Whisper right now.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder if the heroic actually is a little easier because of the burn.
Yeah, kind of like how Whisper was at times. It seemed easier, even though it was harder.
Yeah. Yeah, Whisper actually like almost got easy. It's true. Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe in the future. If you catch the game at the right time, you'll find people that don't mind going back and doing that stuff. So I may just have to bide my time and wait.
And then the only other interesting thing I can think of this week, Sin, is we are getting closer to our Curse Breaker. I was very happy I got my Shattered Throne rare drop this last week, because didn't have to wait another 3 weeks for that to come around anymore. And of course, right. you are one behind on needing Horror's Least
and Ghost Shell. Yeah, so I need the Ascendant Challenges and the Nightfall.
And I need the Ascendant Challenges also, but at least I feel like with those, you do three characters a week, just keep, you know, pumping at it. But like Horus Lease, you got to wait for that freaking Nightfall to come back around.
Yeah, I'm hoping they bring it back next week before we drop into Opulence.
Yeah, because otherwise we might be getting distracted, right? Next week, let's hope. Next week is our week.
Fingers crossed.
You want to know a funny story? I don't have any titles.
That's all right. Is there any that have interest, or do you not even care? Because
I just jump around too much. I don't focus on them. I'm like almost a dredgen, and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah. I got the Wayfarer one pretty early on because it kind of appealed to me. And then I was like, I don't really care about titles. But then But then I saw like, oh, I was getting close to Curse Break or something. Like, okay, it's at least it's something to do. But I think it's totally valid to, you know, I think they're good that they're in the game that gets people to play that get excited by that. And then I think it's so also
some of the people that got those titles early on, I was pretty impressed with. It was cool.
I know. And people that have all of them so far. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I just saw someone tweet recently that they just got their last title and they basically have 100, like legitimately 100%ed the game up to this point. I was like,
I think Bo Solaris is pretty much there.
Yeah, I think he's won. Yes. Like he has all the PvP milestone weapons and like, yeah. But like, I mean, when they said, I think this person, I forget who it was, but someone retweeted a tweet that they had and they've done it. I think they've done everything. They've completed like, I think even triumphs.
All the triumphs. That is insane. That's
like they have all the PvP triumphs even.
It's when you drop the mic and walk out the door.
I think that's what it takes. I think it takes like a PvP player to do something like that because that's harder. I think a PvP player typically can go over to PvE and get that stuff done with a good team and then get all those triumphs and accomplishments taken care of. And then, you know, they are doing the PvP thing. I'll never get all the triumphs because I cannot. the gold tier triumphs in PvP? Heck no. Not going to get all those.
No, thanks.
Yeah, that's a no from me.
That's a no.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much our week in the game. What else do we have on the docket? Anything else you have on your mind, Sin?
Not really. I'm installing Dauntless just because I remember somebody talking about it.
Added
to PC, my hopefully. Games. Yes, on PC.
On PS4, you still can't play. It's just so overloaded.
Since I had started playing Monster Hunter World this week for 2 hours, I did finally pop that in to try it out. I figured I'd give Dauntless a try on PC. And at the end of the day, I'll probably be back to Destiny tonight or tomorrow at some point anyway. So
I know we always, Sin and I were like, let's try other games, but we're in Destiny too much. I'm getting really close to 100%ing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, although there's another DLC that's coming out probably around the same time the season of Opulence hits, but then that'll give me some more to do when a month or two down the road if I have any downtime. I want to get Diablo 3 for the Switch, but I'm just like, there's still, I thought I was going to be bored of Destiny for this next week, but I'm actually kind of like gung-ho for leveling up my Titan. Really hoping to finish off Cursebreaker this next week if I can. And then we'll take it from there and we'll see what the new season brings.
Yeah, the final push's got its hooks in you. It's
keeping Triple Infamy coming up.
See, that doesn't bother me as much now because I still have Dredgen, or I do have Dredgen. But
it's not so much for me either, but yeah, for people, you know, and by the time the podcast comes out, you know, we're most of the way through there, but still, I think it's always smart to have that triple infamy or double infamy or whatever you have, like the last week of the season to kind of get people
jump on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. It's been a great discussion. Anything else you want to kind of bring up tonight? T-Bot?
Yeah, I was looking at this game. I don't know if you guys had it on your radar. You're talking about other games.
Do tell.
Void Bastards. Have you seen this?
No.
What is it on?
Someone sent me a link to Mr. Fruit's YouTube video of him playing through it. And it's not out yet. Apparently, it's on Xbox Game Pass, which I'm lucky enough to have. And I think I may actually play a bit of it this week on stream, but it's called Void Bastards. It's a first person shooter and the aesthetic of the game is such that when you see screenshots of it, it looks like a comic book. So
I just pulled up here. It says inspired by BioShock.
It looks really cool. And I talked to, I think it was Dan. Yeah, it was Dan Finity that sent me the link. He told me about it. And he was like, it looks amazing. I think he's going to play it. I'll probably play it. I think it's it's single player. So you won't be able to play with other people. But if anyone's looking for another game, to check out and you have an Xbox, it may be worth checking out if you have Game Pass, because you'll be able to play.
It is on Steam too.
Yeah, yeah. It's on all platforms.
Okay.
It's not an Xbox exclusive.
So it's free with the Xbox Game Pass. So you do get it free with that particular portion with Xbox, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look at this. Yeah, it's on all platforms. I can even play on Mac. Maybe I'll have to check this out.
What?
Because I know it's May 21st, Void Bastards available on Mac. So yeah. they have it everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks great. Thanks for the suggestion. I will be putting that in my list.
Oh. I clicked you Anthem wish list, but I'm not in the right place.
I wanted Anthem to be good. You mentioned Anthem. It's kind of too bad what happened with all that. Maybe one day they'll come out with some big expansion or update and get people to come back, but who knows?
I think they will. I put a lot of time into Anthem, and that was my Xbox game. I was actually playing that for a while instead of Destiny, and it was a nice refreshing change. But yeah, I got to the point that game just, they weren't bringing out any content. They were having to spend too much time fixing issues with it, and they couldn't get the loot to work out.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. Yeah.
Yeah, like I couldn't get my character, they call them javelins if you're not familiar. The javelin, I couldn't get them to be fully equipped or leveled up. You know, we're so used to playing games where, you know, getting fully leveled isn't terribly difficult, but the right. RNG of having the top tier loot drop was so bad, and sometimes it was just broken, like literally broken. I think if they fix that, people will start to play, because they'll be, you know, they'll have that little carrot in front of them to get like the perfect build, you know. So
yeah,
I haven't heard if they changed it. So
it's not been, yet. Yeah, it's been
weeks, maybe months. Well, it's been months now.
I follow Paul Tassi occasionally writes an article about it, and nothing, no good news right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, still. I know they came out with a new stronghold, which is essentially Strike. And yeah. And the I'm in a couple groups just to follow the news, and yeah, apparently like they didn't fix the loot yet. Like they broke the loot like three times, and then last time I think they just sort of said, okay, we have big problems here. So I heard that they took a step back on development and were trying to like remap what they need to do or want to do. I don't know if that's true, but yeah, if probably. That game gets it right, it'll be a fun game to hop back into. So if you have it, don't delete it. Just let it chill. It'll be worth playing in the future.
And are you excited at all? Do you ever play Borderlands?
Oh yeah, I played Borderlands 2. I have the Handsome Jack collection on PS4, and it was actually the game that me and my wife played together while we were first like starting to live together, and that was yeah, that was an awesome game. Everyone knows. Everyone raves about Borderlands. For me, it almost feels like I'm like trying to jump on the bandwagon talking about Borderlands. Not that I mind talking about it, but it's like everyone's like, oh, about Borderlands. So, yeah, I'm assuming you guys are going to be playing something 3 when it comes out.
Well, I mean, it'll be hard again if it's competing with Destiny. Destiny will be my main, but that'll be a strong second. I'll tell you, I came into Borderlands late, kind of like jumping on the bandwagon myself, and I should have done it way back, because I didn't realize how hilarious that game is.
Yeah, it's good. It's got great dialogue. I just like listening to like the characters talk. It's better than shooting sometimes.
And you get to pick up loot even in porta potties and toilets.
Dude, the toilet loot is so good. I heard this a while back, and I haven't thought about it for a while, but in PUBG, if you've ever played PUBG, there's some of the porta-johns that are in the game. They're like little wooden porta-johns that are like open-faced, you know? They're not like a little building with a door. Mm-hmm. There's loot in those sometimes. They're like,
not really?
Yeah, they don't really look like porta-johns, but that's what they're supposed to be, and supposedly like a callback to Borderlands.
Oh, that's great. Well, there's lots to look forward to. This is fantastic. Yep. Lots to look forward to. Gaming is in a good spot right now. Boy, it's been excellent having you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it
so much. We could talk for hours, but
many hours.
But yeah, we'll have you back on again some point if you would like. And
nah, I'll pass.
You'll pass. Hey, thanks for being honest.
At least you're honest.
Oh man, no, it was great. Oh, I like these conversations. So, and I like you guys. You guys are cool. You smell nice.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
I can smell you through the microphone.
That's weird.
Again, the main point of our show and having you on and having all our guests on is to promote people. So before we tap out tonight, would you tell the good podcast listeners where people can find you?
Kingsley, no, sure. No. It's T-Bot. Go plug yourself.
Go plug yourself.
I just may do that later. But if you'd like to find me not plugging myself, you can find me at twitch.tv/IMTBOT, IAMTEEBOT. And on the, what is it, Twitter? Is that what people use now?
The Twitters. That's what kids use.
Yeah. I am_TBOT because some 12-year-old has my account and he never used it.
Dang it.
He took IMTBOT. I'm like, why?
That is such a going theme with Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Twitter's going to do a purge eventually, I'm sure. But
they keep saying that, but hopefully they will.
Yeah, they do, right? And I actually sent them the message and did the proper channels and was like, hey, you can get rid of this guy's account. Like, this kid's like never used his account. I literally tweeted on it once when he first used it, and then just sits there. I'm like, can you just like purge it and let me have it? But I think they have so many people emailing them and messaging them on that. So it's like... Yeah,
it's kind of a mess. We'll see what happens. Well, that's good, and we'll have your contact info in our show notes also for the lovely listeners.
Cool. I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Again, pleasure. While we tap out for tonight, Sin, can you tell the lovely listeners how people can find you?
Yes, I typically plug myself on twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin is C-Y-N, and Twitter with that beautiful underscore right in the middle, SinMedia, Sin_Media. Kingsley, take it away.
People can find me as Kingsley Mac, and that is my PlayStation handle, and that is my Twitch handle. I occasionally just stream if I'm raiding. I'm kind of that kindergartner level of streaming. But yeah, and then on Twitter, of course, I am MC Kingsley because Kingsley Mac is not available. You can find the show at our website at theguardianhub.com, or you can also find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure again having you on tonight, T-Bot.
And thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. And for everyone out there, we'll see you later. Good night.
All right.
I don't know why I said sorry.
It's going to be fun when I just leave it right there. Yeah.